Welcome to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor. Get ready to be inspired. Stories have power and conversations spark change. So let's create a new world and get started right now.
Hey, good afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia, and good day or evening to all our international listeners too. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Monday, 4 p.m. at Melbourne, Australia time, and Sunday, 11 p.m. Central time for the US and Canada, for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to 190 plus outlets worldwide. So thank you, BBS Radio, and the brothers Don and Doug. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo, breaking free from limiting systems and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their story, to reveal how they've overcome change and made better lives for themselves and, of course, for others as well, and to inspire you with their stories, because storytelling is creating a new world. So let me introduce today's guest. We've got Hannah Groves. She's a former Queensland police officer with 7 years on the force, who took a bold leap into motherhood and then entrepreneurship. Hannah went on to build her own business, which is Divergent Media, blending sharp strategic thinking together with creative flair to help clients grow powerful online presences, just as she did for herself as well. In recent years, she's taken her business to the next level, going not just national but international, proving that she can run it from anywhere in the world. And behind the scenes, there's another passion quietly gaining momentum. It's got something to do with supporting women, right? And we'll dive into that a little later as well. So, Hannah, welcome.
Thank you. What an introduction.
It's always a bit crazy when you hear about yourself, isn't it?
Correct, yes.
Why is that, do you think? Why do we have this humbleness about us? And, you know, when we hear somebody touting all our achievements and glories, why is it that we feel a bit uneasy?
Honestly, I think it's got a lot to do with, you know, society's programming. You know, like we always, especially in Australia, if you're doing really well, people like to try and take you down a notch, for example. So
that's a good point. Australia, the tall poppy syndrome.
Yes, exactly. The tall poppy syndrome. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, don't get me wrong. You still want to be, you know, working with our ego and being humble. But there's a point where it also is like you almost have this blanket or a veil over yourself going, oh yeah, no, I'm not really that wonderful, but you really are.
Yes, you truly are. And I'm going to ask you about firstly the police force in a moment, but yeah. One thing that just came to my mind is we're really good and we're really proud and we're really outspoken when we're walking a path that everybody else knows. Like if you had to say, I'm a police officer and I work with the Queensland Police Force, we can do that and we can own it. But when you say, oh, I've created my own business and I'm helping people with websites, it's like we don't quite own it as much.
Oh, yeah, correct. What you do is definitely shapes part of your identity and how you see that. But again, I feel like, you know, the programming or society or however we look at it, we can be proud because we're a police officer, you know, because
yeah.
Everybody's got that idea. Even if you don't like a police officer, you still have that idea of what they are, who they are, and what they're all about.
And I think you're right with that word identity. Yeah, it's creating our identity, and some forms, some programs or paradigms have a greater tribal identity as opposed to others, haven't
yeah.
they? Yeah,
agreed.
Okay, so let's talk about, like, why did you become a police officer?
Well, to begin with, I wanted to help people, and it was actually a little bit crazy. my parents were always, you need to find a job that's got security and, long term, all those kinds of pluses, right? So
Yes.
my mind was open to armed forces, and I hadn't even thought about the police service at that stage. And actually, I saw a show when I was in like grade 9, and it was all about policing, but it was women policing, and that was the highlight of the show was women police. I can't even name remember the name of the show now,
Yep.
but back when I was in grade 9, I saw this and I've gone, oh, what about that then? Because I was really trying to take on what my parents were saying, like that whole find a secure career and find something that is always going to give you a paycheck and you've got long-term security with it. And yeah, between that show and what my parents were saying, I came up, and the fact that I really was passionate about helping people, I came up with policing.
Yeah, so that show triggered something.
Yes, absolutely it did. Yeah.
Okay, because I look at you now and I'm like, I can't picture you with a gun in a holster,
Yep, been there, done that, correct? Yes.
All right. Single life for you, was it when you were a police officer?
To begin with, no, actually, by the time I joined the service, I was already with a partner at that stage who I then married later on down the track.
Okay. So, what do you think about our police officers, our police system? You were inside it, yeah, and that was quite a while ago. Did you enjoy it? Did did you love doing what you were doing?
I liked working with people, being able to help them. There was a definite element there, but policing is honestly very reactive rather than being proactive. I did find that, obviously, like with any institution, it was very institutionalized. There was a set protocols, set this, set that, and it was hard to make change from inside.
Right.
Especially as a female, still back then, being female in a male-dominated space, that was also challenging.
Sure.
But I had to prove myself time and time again. That's one of the things, and by proving yourself meant handling a violent situation, for example. How do I handle myself in a violent situation? And thankfully, like I didn't back down or anything. I was there. I could hold my own. So
Wow.
that was really good with the boys. And in fact, my partner actually at that stage, I had somebody else, just joking around, but they're going, oh, what are you going to be like in a fight? Just always mucking around. And I didn't say anything because I knew I could handle myself. The partner that I was with, and we'd been in a number of confrontations before, he goes, you know what? He goes, I'd rather have you, her in a fight, representing me. I'd rather have Hannah in a fight with me than you any day. And I've gone like, oh, okay.
Right.
That's sweet.
So you were quietly quite powerful, right? I love it.
That's one way of wording it for sure. Because yeah, I didn't need to announce it, but yeah, my partners knew I had their back, so that's all that mattered.
Yes. Yes. So when did you get that kind of shift then to you to motherhood?
Well, obviously, as you grow older, things change. You got married. We then wanted to have children. And when that happened, it really, there was a big shift for me, not only to do the right thing by my family, but also it was a rigid structure. I was working in an institution that was very, very rigid. And even though they did offer some flexibility, which was great, it wasn't enough for me. It wasn't enough flexibility, and it wasn't enough, for my family, for what I wanted to do for my family. And it was funny though, there was just one moment within the policing where I met somebody else and they opened my eyes to a whole different world of how to earn a living, so to speak. And between that and motherhood, that got my mind moving.
So you said, yeah, you even said earlier on, you call it institutionalized, right? So,
Correct.
as long as you're prepared to do as you're told and do things in a particular way and conform, then it was something that was very, very good. But it sounds like you were starting to outgrow that box, so to speak.
Correct, 100%. That's the best way to describe it.
Right. So, I mean, biology was working as well, and that the tribe saying, when are you going to have kids? When are you going to go settle down? When are you going to do this? So you had sort of an inner shift going on for something else. Yeah.
100%.
Okay. So then along comes motherhood. Yeah. And when did the business start to, when did you start doing the kind of techie stuff?
Well, actually, again, it just came along, We talk about the universe and how it puts things in your path, and I never thought about it until, somebody asks you, how did you get started? And what had happened was, by this time I'd resigned from the police service and I was helping my husband with his business, my husband at the time. And he was a builder and I was doing all the bookkeeping. I was doing plans. I would get on the tools if need be, but I was basically, running the admin side of things. And this is actually way back when, before websites were really, really common for every single business. And
When did all that stuff happen? Do you remember?
well, starting in the 2000s is when it really started picking up, momentum. And what had happened was I had thought about doing some graphic design because, as part of the business that I was now involved in, we would do plans up. And I thought, oh, well, I could actually, instead of getting a, architecture to, architect, engineer, whatever we needed to draw up the plans, I could perhaps help out with drawing out plans. And I've always had a little bit of creativity side of myself. Like, I've always enjoyed the creative side, whatever that might be. And so I thought, oh, graphic design. Let's do graphic design. And I found something that I could do online, which I really enjoyed. And again, it encouraged more of an artistic flair. But as part of that graphic design course, I had to build a website. And I had no idea how to build a website. And I'd already had my back then, we had the big old yellow pages, like the big fat books, right?
Anybody out there, because we're going international here, the Yellow Pages was the phone book. It was the phone book for businesses, wasn't it? And it was usually quite thick, quite a thick book. Yes.
Correct,
Go
exactly right.
ahead.
So I actually had them coming around saying, "Oh, you should build your website on our platform, blah, 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 blah." And I've gone like, "Oh, yeah, I'll get there, I'll get there, I'll get there." So that's what I mean. Websites weren't even a common thing at that stage.
That's
And then,
incredible. That's incredible because that's like 25 years ago,
yeah,
right? In only
right.
25 years, we've gone from scattered few websites to everything's a website.
Yes, correct, exactly. And so I we ended up building this website as part of an assignment, enjoyed it immensely. And then I had somebody else, because I, sh you know, when you enjoy something, you show it off, So I showed it off to a few people and they go, "Can you build me a website?" And I've gone, "Oh, why not?" So I did it and it was obviously part-time to begin with, but I started doing it part-time and until I built my business up to, being able to support myself and my children.
Wow, what a story. You realize that you've completely reinvented yourself, right? To go from being a police officer to a mum to then creating and producing websites. Yeah.
Well, definitely a different career path, that's for sure.
So, I'm listening to you talk, tell the story. Was there anything in the way? Like, it doesn't sound like it was a hard transition.
Oh, well, look, yes, absolutely there was stuff in the way. It took me a number of years to progress to the fact that I was actually being able to be self-sufficient in my own business. So, for example, that was back in probably towards the, because unfortunately the marriage didn't work out. So it was towards the end of 2011, 2012 that I actually started doing these things for myself. I did start the graphic design course in the intention to help the business grow, but when our relationship fell apart, it was like, okay, well, I've got a skill set I can now use, so I'm going to keep developing that. So that was 2011, 2012. And then 2019, I actually moved from Mackay to Brisbane. And by that stage, I was self-sufficient. Like my business was paying the bills. So I was supporting the children and myself. And yeah, and of course, then COVID hit, which obviously was a bump in the road. but it was a bump in the road for a lot of people.
It was.
And it was scary but exciting at the same time, being able to do something like that where I'm now, so self-sufficient. And to tell you the truth, another big motivation for it as well was to be able to have that flexibility still with the kids. So if I needed to go to school for a school event, I could still do that. I could, work my work life around my children still. And that was really important to me.
And you turned something from a little bit of a hobby and, just an experiment into a business.
Yes, correct.
But it took a few years to really create that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want people to hear this, right? Because there's people out there, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, that have been reinventing themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what happened to you through COVID with your business? Did you have to reinvent yourself?
I definitely had to take a second look on how my business was running, what other services I offered. Obviously, people with the businesses that I was working with, a lot of them closed down temporarily. I was able to, of course, get back on track, but it really made me think of, what services I offer and making sure I talk about this with my own clients as well. It's like, what are the revenue streams that you have coming in? If the doors close tomorrow, how are you still supporting yourself? How are you still supporting your family? How are you still keeping the business going, so to speak? And believe it or not, there are many ways to take some businesses, even if they've got a shopfront, to take things online and be able to still do those services. So it was really, I know, don't get me wrong, COVID was very devastating, but at the same time, you can always turn a negative into a positive, and it really did open my eyes to a whole world of other opportunities online.
And it was asking people to reinvent themselves because people get really caught up, don't they, in comfort zones and what we call the
Correct.
norm, you know? And for people like you've reinvented yourself a number of times by the sounds of it. And we don't realize some of us have reinvented ourselves in cycles throughout our life where other people try desperately to stay the same, right? So
Yes.
that's why I want you to share your story because there's so many people out there in the last 6 years that were forced to change themselves, were forced to do something. And what I hear in your story, tell me this, when you were changing yourself from the police force to supporting your husband's business, is it easier to change yourself when you've got someone else on your side, when you've got a partner, when you've got somebody else that's bringing some money in, as opposed to doing it solo?
To tell you the truth, I found it better doing it solo than with having that partner. Then that's not to say that you don't have to have a partner or you have to get rid of your partner.
Yeah.
It's more so that because you don't feel like you have to take them into the equation. If this is for you do it for you. You also have a little bit more motivation because it's like, oh, I've got to pay this bill. I've got to pay. That's a little bit of turn that into a game and have that
That's a
as.
hell of a motivation.
Exactly. It is a hell of a motivation. But, I felt like, and that's probably one of the reasons why I did start off so slow, is because I did have that support. I did have him there. I did go, oh, well, it didn't matter. I'll do that next week. I'll do that next week. Whereas when it's all, all the eggs are in your basket and you're holding that basket all by yourself,
Yep.
you're a highly, you're so much more motivated to move quicker and faster and but still be authentic to yourself.
That's a great way to put it. That's a great way to put it. So, all right, you've now got this business yourself. You in the last 6 years, you needed to reinvent it to some degree because everybody else's businesses were being turned upside down and inside out. When did the idea come along to go overseas?
Well, actually, that's Going back into the police service days, that's where I met that person where I said, they opened my eyes to a whole world of possibilities. And that's what they were talking about. It's like you don't have to have a job that, makes you stay in one location. You can travel, you can, like it just opened my eyes that there's a possibility of travel with your business. And so when I was going through that reinvention side of myself with my business, obviously, as I said, my children were a priority. But then I thought, well, what's going to happen once the children, I'm an empty nester? Once I'm an empty nester, what can I do then? I've gone like, well, I can then take my show on the road, as I always say. I can quite literally travel and still do my business. That's something that I'm really passionate about, but also travel and see different countries.
And there's something really significant about that because I know in my own experience, watching people, as their children would grow up, we can do one of two things, really. We can plan what letting them go is going to look like and what we're going to do and who we're going to be when we've let go. Or we can strangle the hell out of the whole situation and hold on to everything, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like at the end of the day, that's a stage of our life, isn't it? Like after having children, they are going to leave at some point. Whether, with your blessings or like what you said, a stranglehold, that's a scenario that I want to go for the first one, and I want to go for with my blessings. And once it literally happened exactly like that. My daughter moved out of home. My son had already moved out of home. It was like I am now an empty nester. I've gone like, what am I doing here? I'm in this house by myself, and that's not what my life was supposed to be once they moved out of home. So it took me only like literally about a couple of weeks to go like, the trigger had switched in my head, and I've gone like, start packing up. Let's go. Let's do this.
That's fabulous. So, how long had that seed that that person planted with you, how long had it been sitting there waiting to sprout?
Oh well, how old's my daughter? 25. So 25 years, 26 years. So it was just before I was pregnant with my daughter, basically, that that seed had been planted, and by the time I sprouted it was when my daughter moved out of home.
Isn't that incredible? What is it in life that makes that happen for us? Those moments where they're like burned into our heart and our soul, right? Where you can, in one moment, recount the feeling, the visual. What is that? What's at work, do you reckon?
I don't know. I really don't know, but I still remember that exact moment. Like what you said, I still remember that exact moment.
It was
I feel
like,
like, how we talk about epiphanies? It's like an epiphany moment, so to speak. Like, but it's there, drilled in, ready to be launched later on down the track.
absolutely, absolutely. So you had to launch it once you had come to that conclusion that the kids were off and doing their own thing, and you better get off and do your own thing. So within
Correct.
a couple of weeks, what had you done? What had you decided?
Well, I was able to reach out because I was renting at the time. So I was able to reach out to my real estate agent and say, hey, look, I'm wanting to leave, but I know my contract is due in like literally a couple of weeks. But instead of renewing for a year, can I please just renew for 3 months to give myself enough time to pack everything up and, sort myself out and then, head off overseas, basically. And by that stage, I actually had moved to a different real estate agent. So it was actually, again, fortuitous, or the way the universe had designed it. Because if I stayed with the other one, they would have said no. But because I was with a new one, they said, yes, absolutely, we'll do that. We'll just give you the 3 month contract instead of the year, give you time to get everything
So
sorted.
all the planets were starting to align. Is that what you're saying?
100%, 100%. And it was just so easy. So my lease was renewed just for that 3 month period. Within that 3 month period, I got everything organized. I was able to get rid of my stuff, sell what I didn't need and store what I wanted to keep, and I was on a plane and out of Australia.
And where were you headed?
I decided to take the first leap to the US. I have a dear friend over there, and again, talking with her, she goes, why don't you come stay here? Because I didn't know what it was going to be like working and traveling at the same time. So she goes, at least you've got that, a soft landing, so to speak. You can come here, you can stay with me, and we can still do things together, and because we love hiking and kayaking and all that kind of stuff. So we can still go all do the adventures on the weekend, and during the week you can still work. And I've gone, okay, yeah, that sounds great. So that's exactly what I did. So my first international stint was over in the US into Wyoming. And yeah, then I wound up coming back to Australia for the next couple of months, and again getting ready to go for my next adventure, basically.
Okay. So you were just starting to put your toe in the water. And, I love what you said. It was so easy.
It was.
What is that? What is that? I know from my own experience, whenever I'm following my heart, I suppose is the cliche for it, right? But whenever I'm doing something that I enjoy and that I love, there's an ease to it. Yeah. Where,
Oh,
if I'm off track, it's kind of become like a measuring stick. If I'm off track, if things become sticky and hard and difficult, it's usually telling me I've just got off track.
100%. I don't know how else to describe it. That is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. So it just happened with such ease. So you were just sort of riding the wave of life by the sounds of it.
Absolutely. I mean, like I had, it was literally 24 hours or 48 hours. I was due to fly out to the US. And I think I remember telling you this story. I lost my license with all the packing and
Tell
getting.
everybody because it's a good story. Yes.
Exactly. I was packing everything. I was either, Goodwill selling or storing, right? So everything was getting all bundled up and just shift, shift, shift. And I was literally, finalizing my suitcase to go overseas, and I've gone like, where's my license? I can't find my license anywhere. I had
Your
my
driver's license.
passport. Yes, my driver's license. I could not find my driver's license anywhere. And I've gone like, oh, that's in that little purse I've got. I can't find that anywhere. And I've gone like, oh no. And of course, everybody starts to panic when they can't find their driver's license, like that's important ID. And so I'm there and I've started tracing my steps backwards, and I contacted the Goodwill. No, they couldn't find it. Contacted there's even the rubbish dump, they've got like a section there. No, couldn't find it there. And then all of a sudden, I just had this wave of calm just hit me. And it really, really did. It just said, stop. There wasn't anybody speaking in my head. It wasn't anything like that. It was just, I had this wave of calm. And I just knew it was going to be all right. It's safe. It's okay. And it will be returned to you. Like that was just the feeling that I had that came over me. Anyway, so I'm in Wyoming, and a month later, I had this random Facebook message, and my license was returning to me. Somebody had found it, and they had found me online, which is crazy because I don't even go by my license name. So they still
So
wound up.
the names on Facebook and your license were different.
Correct. So they still found me on Facebook and messaged me, and it was a random message too. It was like, I have something of yours. I've gone like, oh, okay, here we go. And I'm going, okay, what is it? And then they sent me the photo of my license. I'm like, oh my God.
What is that in action? What is that? Have you figured it out?
No, I haven't figured it out, but I just feel like it's like universe dropping little, giving you that little push or giving you an ease message, the universe just saying, hey, you're on the right path. Keep going.
We
Don't worry about that.
really are flowing with an energy of life, whatever that is, aren't we? And when
Correct.
we, what you're talking about is you had a quiet voice or a quiet knowing or a quiet feeling that just said, just surrender, just it's okay. It's okay. And when you did that, it's like you let the energy just work out all sorts of things because we never ever know. We don't get a bird's eye view of life and all the connections, but you just stepped out of the way, let it go, and then, if you tried to figure out how all those things went together, you would drive yourself nuts, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. You
Yeah.
don't think about it, just be grateful for
Right. That's lovely. I love that. That's a Hannahism. Yeah.
it. Yeah, sure.
That's a Hannahism. Say it again.
Don't think about it, just be grateful for it.
That's it. That's definitely a Hannahism,
Yes.
right? Because, when I say, some of us can be overthinkers, would you put yourself in that category sometimes?
Oh, 100%. No doubt about it.
And thinking in itself is constructive, isn't it? Because I
Absolutely.
think you were following your thoughts by going to the goodwill people and, going to different avenues to find out what was going on. That's using our thinking
Correct.
constructively. So there's a place for it, but we can overthink.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right.
So off to Wyoming, back to Australia. Then what happened?
So obviously that first experiment went well. I loved it, and it just launched more and more of going like, I want to travel, I want to travel, I want to
Can I go
travel.
back one step there? Because I love that you called it an experiment.
Okay.
There's something about that because, it's like you weren't locked in. You said something a little earlier too, about playing a game. Yeah, like not getting too serious about things. So you looked at it as an experiment because, otherwise people, if they lock it in and they've got determined outcomes and things, they can get too serious about it, can't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So you saw it as an experiment. You were testing the waters. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, 100%. Wanted to see what working life and travel at the same time was going to be like.
Yeah. Because I just know that, this spiritual path that a lot of people walk down, I got caught up in that years ago. And, we were encouraged to just give up the life that we had and start something new. And it doesn't work like that.
No,
It doesn't
exactly
work
right.
like that. You've got to do what you did. You've got to experiment
100%.
and start creating the next thing by putting your toe in the water and having a go.
Absolutely.
So,
And if you think about it too, I've kind of done that along the way too, with regards to, with the digital marketing and starting to build a website. Again, that was a toe in the water. Like I didn't just go and start building the business the next day I built a website. It was, I started building it up.
We've got to grow into it. Got to grow into it and have some fun and see it as a bit of a game. And, I don't mean that flippantly because sometimes when people are really stuck and really going through a hard time, if you say that you've got to just play a game, they could get a bit upset about that. And we're not here to upset people, right?
Oh, 100%. I was one of them, trust me.
Right. Yeah, because if somebody had have just said to you to play a game at some points, you probably would have bitten their head off, right?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Well, I'm glad we're not talking to her today.
That's for sure.
So after Wyoming, you come back, and then what happened?
So the whole idea of traveling, really solidified. It's like, yes, I can work and travel at the same time. That's not an issue. So it's like, now, where am I going to go? What's my bucket list countries? Let's start going into moving into different countries. And I, started researching different countries, where to go. I already had an idea of some of the places I wanted to go, so but I really started going further into it. So for example, visas is always something that you have to consider. So I had to, of course, look into visas for different countries. So that way, when I go to a country, I'm covered, because you don't want to get to the door and they turn around and send you away because you don't
I
have the
won't
right
let you off
visa.
the plane, yes.
Exactly. So there was a lot of that happening, just opening my mind to what my life could potentially be, even if it's for a few years. It was like, yep, this is amazing. Like this is what I want to do.
So tell the people where you ended up. Go on.
Okay, so actually, for 2024, I went up getting a flight on the 31st of December in Australia, which wound up landing me in Miami, US, on the 31st of December. So I celebrated New Year's
Wow.
in Miami down at North Beach, which was amazing. I
Must
took
have
myself
been
out.
incredible, yes.
I got so many pictures, and so I spent New Year's night in New Year's Eve to New Year's Day in Miami, which was great. Then from Miami, I went to Panama, and I went and stayed in a little small town called Vulcan in Panama. I only stayed there for about three, nearly 4 weeks, but it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then from Panama, I went to Colombia. And I've been exploring a lot of Colombia, honestly.
Yes.
I just found a really nice groove in Colombia, and that's the great thing about with my travel is that I'm not restricted to a timetable. So the first part of my journey in Panama, I was starting to feel like, oh, I'm getting rushed, you know, because originally I was going to go, oh, I'm going to do this country, then this country, then this. Like I had 5 different countries in 5 months originally. That was my, you know, rough plan. And then I got to Colombia and I've gone like, why am I forcing myself to be so rush, rush, rush?
Yeah.
And I got to Colombia, met some beautiful people, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to stay here for a little bit. I'm just going to settle. And
Thank
that's what I
God
did.
you had flexibility.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, there's something to be said about that, having a plan, but being okay to let the plan change along the way.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, because life is not a straight line path. Is it?
No, it's not. And I think that's been such a liberating thing for me. Not only was it liberating with regards to letting go of so many physical possessions when I, you know, got rid of my house that I was renting and all the worldly possessions.
Right, yes.
That was liberating in itself, but this liberation of not necessarily having a detailed plan, you know what? I think more people should do it, honestly, because, you know, things happen and you need to be fluid and roll with it sometimes. And you know what? That could be even a better path for you than what you thought, you know, your thinking was taking you on. And I know you're laughing at this in such a way because we've had so many talks about this before.
Oh, I'm just thinking, who is this wise woman? You know, who is this wise woman? Just saying, you know, I think it's valuable information to people to say, you know, hey, you know, we all carry around a lot of baggage. And is that baggage in our house? Is it in all the photo albums and the closets and the cupboards and the everything else? There is something incredibly liberating with, you know, lightening the load. Yeah. And I'm
Absolutely.
sure you probably shed a few tears and, you know, had a few ups and downs on what to let go of and what not to let go of. But once you did, it's like you just got propelled out into the world.
Yes, 100%. That's a great way of summarizing it.
And that's inspiring. That's why I wanted you to tell your story, right? Because we look at our own lives and go, oh, that. Oh, when I did that, we totally underestimate and undervalue what it is that we've actually done. For, you know, a majority of people out there who are still sitting in their comfort zone and have the same friends, the same lifestyle, the same job, the same whatever, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but what I am saying is when you let that go and start to embrace change, I'm listening to you telling your story. And I just wrote down here, like, take notice of how she lights up, right? When you talk about, you know, got rid of all my things and started making plans for going overseas, you can't stop you. When we're passionate and enjoying our life, isn't that how we talk?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the two biggest buzzes you can get me talking about now is obviously my digital marketing and my travel life, honestly. It's like, and of course, my children, I need to put that in there too. But, you know,
Tack that on the end, yes.
but for my life now, you know, for me, digital marketing and my travel, like they are, that my, you, I can't stop talking about them.
And is that, have you now tuned into your natural way of living? Have you tuned into doing really just what makes you happy?
Oh, absolutely. I try and make sure that, like, for example, I enjoy my work, but sometimes there is a negative to that, whereas I'll just sit there in front of the computer and work all day and work all night. It's like, well, that's not living life, you know, even though I enjoy it, it's not out there meeting new people and doing new experiences.
It's
And
balance.
yeah, exactly. You need to get that balance. So with me traveling, it's like, okay, well, I'm in this beautiful city now. I might be in a different city. It's like, okay, what are my what are my goals here whilst I'm here? You know, people talk about seeing this or seeing that, make sure that's on my to-do list, so to speak. So I still have structure, I still have that, you know, planning, but I also go, well, you know what? If it doesn't work out this weekend, I'll go do this, or something else pops up, I'll go do that. You know, like I'm still very flexible about what my plans are when I'm there, but it's all about seeing a new city and experiencing it for yourself rather than as a tourist, like learning the language, learning the culture, and you get a different appreciation on life again. You know, we talked about liberating on getting rid of material possessions, but you also get this, I don't know, abundance or gratefulness for life in the sense of seeing things through different eyes.
When you're living your own life and doing things that make you happy, doesn't it shift you more into your heart than your head?
100%. Like, I don't know how to agree with that. I know I've said 100% so many times, but it's true. 100%. 110%. Like, seriously, it makes such a big difference in your life.
And that's what opens us up to living life in a different way. I think that there's some element to mental energy in the mind that locks us in boxes.
Yes, for sure.
Only it's coming from experience for both of us, right? We've both
Yep.
locked ourselves in mental boxes of, thinking, I know, this much and I know this stuff and holding on to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it just really does lock us up in a box. And you've just opened up the cage. Actually, you've probably just blasted all the walls away and gone out to find out just what you love and what you enjoy and doing that.
Absolutely.
Because then it just happens with such ease. Like life was just supporting you, going, come on, Hannah, let's do
Yeah.
this. So
Exactly.
tell me about little Hannah. Like, was there any inclination when you were a kid that this is what you were going to do? Like, did you love?
No way at all.
Right.
No, I had no idea about travel in that way. I mean, in some ways, there was probably one thing that that I've now embraced that I used to look at as a negative. So when I was younger, we would move around a lot, you know, because your parents lost a job or they new opportunity in a different town. It was quite often, you know, a thing to move around. And I moved around from state to state, from New South Wales to Queensland a lot in Australia in accordance to my dad's work. But I thought that was to be a negative, but now I see it as a positive, you know.
Well, and that's what you just, I think you've just put the dots together, right? Because it was getting you prepared for reinventing yourself again and again and again.
Yeah, exactly.
And
So,
what
but I
if
never thought about traveling though. I didn't think about traveling to different countries.
you had. Well, I just think it was the reinvention factor, the reinvention that, life continues to change and we either change with it or we hunker down and hold on. I think you just put the dots together. She was already being prepared to just keep reinventing herself. And you've reinvented yourself how many times now?
I don't know.
That's fabulous. What a story, Hannah, honestly. So, all right, let's go into what I alluded to in the intro, is that there's another passion just quietly building in the background. Tell me what this thing is about supporting women. What is it for you?
Well, as I mentioned, and as you've said, I've reinvented myself a few times now, but one of the motivators is, of course, is going through a divorce. You know, that wasn't very easy. And, you know, I don't know of many divorces that are very easy. And I really noticed when I was there that if I didn't have the support of my family, I would have really, really struggled to support myself and my children at one stage. And for that alone, I want to be able to do something more for women where, especially even if it doesn't even have to be a divorce situation or, you know, domestic violence or anything like that. It could also just be the fact that they're taking time out to do, you know, to be a mum for their children, to be there for the children as they raise them, and then they enter back into the workforce. Sometimes even that can be a challenge. There are more and more programs happening. Don't get me wrong, but I still want to be able to support women in general with regards to living their best life.
Well, I just wrote down the word programs because what I'm hearing from you too is that, your life, even up until being in the police force, was subject to programming. It's what mum and dad wanted of you. It was what society wanted of you. It was what your peers wanted of you. And we're all encouraged to do that. And that kind of puts us in a box, doesn't it?
Correct.
And
Yes.
I think most people in their 30s and 40s start having some sort of epiphany that they want something more and they don't quite know what it is. I don't think that most of them realize that they've actually been compartmentalized and they've been put in, they're living a life that suits everybody else and them to a degree, but is it what you truly want? Yeah. So now you're talking about marriage and separation. I mean, that's a massive industry out there, and unfortunately, it's even though everyone thinks there's a lot of support out there, even the supporting systems are not quite working to the best. And I've had guests on talking about this, but I also have personal experience in the people going through the legal system and whatnot. You're fortunate to have had your family there. So, what are you thinking of? Women who are breaking the mold, whether that's through divorce or whether that's through changing their life, you said that maybe it's just some respite or something like that where they need time out. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
That would be wonderful because, when you know yourself personally, when you were reinventing yourself and you needed to be on your own, in your own energy, in your own way. Thinking of
Correct.
thinking your life, yeah,
Yeah.
reevaluating. What did you do?
Well, for me, I didn't get the. It'd be nice to have like this whole little, tropical island respite. That'd be super cool.
I'd like one behind you at the moment. For the one seeing this by audio, she's got a back screen of just a gorgeous resort and blue water.
I mean, that would be something fantastic to give, women in general to be able to, have a reflection, some sort of, getaway retreat, that kind of thing. But to be honest, I was kind of like forced into mine, like whether it was, through what was happening with my ex or the universe's way to say, hey, this is not your right path. You need to shift over to a different path. It was definitely being able to give the tools and the knowledge and the support, even just as simply as something as simple as the right kind of support, going like, okay, well, if that person can do it, I can do it too. Something as simple as that. Like even back in, yes, 2012, when all that craziness was happening, it's not like influencers, for example, were a big thing. Yes, it
Wait,
was becoming.
hang on, 2012, is that when you were divorcing and all of that sort of thing?
Correct.
Okay,
Yes.
gotcha.
Yeah, so 2012. So when I'm looking for that right kind of, inspiration or know-how, there wasn't a lot of resources there. So it could be something as simple as giving the right resources. It could be, linking with other business opportunities that I have now. Like, so that's something that I've been doing at the moment where I'm in the marketing space, obviously I am, but I'm working with other businesses that can give women those other income revenue streams, for example. So
Okay.
letting people know about those things. So it all could be, it's still unfolding, honestly.
So while people are going through some trauma, they get some support, they get a place to reflect in some way, some tools and encouragement, but also maybe some guidance in, well, what are you going to do next, right? It's kind of like you going and doing that graphic design course, thinking about graphic design, and that then turned into websites and things, right? You're
Exactly.
opening up a door for them to consider maybe being more self-sufficient. Yeah, and taking the steering wheel of life, yeah,
Absolutely.
and starting to drive in their direction, a new direction. Because you're right, going through that, you're in a mess. You're in a mess of so much stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And even if it's not because of a divorce, even if it's because, as the children grow up and as a mother, you need to now start to reinvent yourself and
That's
own your
great.
own
Yes.
identity, like what you said before, Your children are going to naturally move out of home at some stage. So who are you going to be when that happens? You know, like don't, we spoke about even like the police service being part of my identity at one stage. So it's always a natural evolution. So you need to embrace that change, not, you know, shy away from it or hide from it or
Not
deny it.
wait till it comes up and smacks you across the head.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, that's beautiful. That really is, because in my experience, that's what I saw. A lot of women coming up and really kind of being like ostriches with their sand in the head, their sand in the head. What is it? Their head in the sand, just ignoring what was going to come up. So when the kids finally did leave, all their hurt and their sadness and despair and their identity was gone.
Exactly, 100%.
They hadn't given a lot of focus on, starting to create a new version of themselves. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think, don't get me wrong, you know, men have their own challenges and spaces and you know, life progressions as well. But I feel like women have so much more in the sense of their life cycles, as you described it before, you know, like from teenagehood through to being a mother, through to menopause, to you know, being a grandmother. Like there are so many more defining life cycles for women than I feel than there are for men.
Well, you can only share from your own experience, can't
Exactly.
you? Yeah, and there's something really poignant in that. So you would be sharing to women because you're a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're basically saying, I've experienced this and I want to share the ups and downs with you so that you can navigate the path ahead in a simpler way or in a better way. It's To me, I call it standing on the shoulders of giants,
Yeah, yes.
right? We stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us. And if we tell our stories like you're doing now, I said this at the beginning of the show, it's storytelling is creating the new world.
Yeah, absolutely, it is.
So you've already started networking with some other people. As soon as you get an idea about something, yeah, what started coming out of the woodwork?
So as soon as I had the idea of working with other women, for a start off, I'm starting to work with more businesses that are women owned as well. So there's always the potential of how they operate and, you know, being able to duplicate what they do for other potentials. Also connecting with other women who have gone through the same kind of struggles and seeing it from a different perspective as well, in the sense of whether it was, you know, a bad divorce, domestic violence, those kinds of things, and really knowing what kind of support is actually out there and how to take those next steps to try and claim back your own identity, whether it's claiming back financial identity, claiming back your own personal identity, because you've been associated with your, you know, partner for so long, you don't know who or what you are moving forward.
Get yourself lost in the whole family dynamic.
Exactly. So I've networked with a lot more of those type of people as well, and eventually I want to have like this whole great big, you know, system where it could walk you through as a woman going through all these life cycles, so to speak, and how best to handle them.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, once upon a time, indigenously, the women all got together,
Yes.
in a hut, in a circle, in a whatever you want to call it, to do just that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
To share the different cycles of life and the different stories, because as somebody listens to what you have to say, they'll be having some little aha moments going, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Or, oh, yes, what she just said, you can be that moment of inspiration that somebody was for you back when you're in the police force. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So everybody out there has the potential to be living a life like you are.
Oh, for sure.
So
There's no doubt about it.
let's inspire them to do just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean necessarily going out there and traveling like I do. It just means about
Find
sharing.
what it is.
Yeah.
Find what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So tell everybody about your business, and let's give them your website as well. So for those that are interested in what is it you offer?
Okay, so what I offer is an energetic level of marketing. So it's about making sure that your website is a true reflection of yourself or your business, depending on, what you're representing. Making sure that you're energetically getting the right kind of leads coming into you. So I do everything digital marketing, so websites, Facebook ads, Google ads, getting, traffic to you. AI automations now, AI is a big thing. Again, you talk about reinvention. We're reinventing marketing at the moment with AI. So incorporating AI and how we can do that naturally, organically, authentically, not, sticking everything. I see this all the time where people just stick on all these different sections for their marketing and expect it to work. And it's like, no, it's like building a house. You have to have good foundations for a beautiful house to be built. If you have these rocky foundations, then there's something going to
I
break.
agree. Absolutely. Foundation is everything.
Exactly. So I really take a backward step to really not only to get to know your business intimately, but also to also know what steps we need to do to move forward, to see what we can automate organically without, tying you down. There's so many things that we can do that we can do automatically now that people don't even realize, for example.
But what I heard, more importantly, is the word energetic. It's like people don't realize that seeing a website is the physical reality, but it's completely backed by a ton of energy. And
Yes.
yeah, your clients have to be aligned with a really good energy and vision for their business, right? Because they're the magnet.
Ah, exactly.
It's not
Exactly.
the website or anything else. They're the bloody magnet.
Exactly. And what my biggest point of difference is I feel like I tune into that energy to them and best represent that with their marketing, whether that's the website, it's Google Ads, whatever it is. It's whatever it is, who they are energetically, that's what I want to portray on their marketing.
That says it all. That says it all. That was a great little catchphrase there. Give everyone your website, please.
So my website is divergentmediamarketing.io.
Say it again, one more time.
Divergentmediamarketing.io.
Fabulous. So that's for anybody out there that just wants to have a conversation with you, that wants to start becoming their magnet for their life.
Yes,
Yeah, the energetic
absolutely.
magnet for their life. Whoops, let me just stop that. I didn't realize it was going to make a little sound there, my little timer that I've got. We're done. We've time up. Time up. This has been wonderful, Hannah. Honestly, going through the changes that and the cycles that you have had in your life, completely reinventing yourself so many times, you have such a wealth of experience and, of course, knowledge that comes with all of that, that, why wouldn't you be able to set people on their path? Yeah. And have that insight into what it is that they want. You've got such a rich, wonderful life unfolding before you.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for what I have unfolding in front of me. It's I have to pinch myself sometimes, remind myself.
Yes. Keep grounded. Keep on that foundation.
Exactly.
All right, Hannah, thank you so much for speaking with us today. And thank you to everybody out there for listening as well.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
You've been listening to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor live on BBS Radio TV. Join us every Monday at 4 p.m. Melbourne, Australia, AEDT time, for more stories and conversations that will change your world.